What's going on, all my podcasters? C-Jizzle and the fucking Wizzle bringing you another episode. And we got quite a bit to talk about tonight. Not just about how crazy my day was, but about other things. We'll kind of get into that in a minute. But first we're going to talk about how crazy my day was. Now, just so you know, we're drinking on Bud Light tonight. I had six fucking 16-ounce cans for like $6 or $7. I'm like, hey, can't pass that up. Get way more beer than getting six 12-ounce cans. You know, and the 12-ounce cans were just as much, and I'm like, fuck it. PBR or Bud Light? Now, usually I would go for the PBR, but I'm like, fuck it, I want more beer. So, I'm glad I did. Because I've only got this one that I just cracked open, and another one, and then I'm done. But anywho, we got a lot of shit to talk about tonight. And one of the main things is the job that I'm at right now and where I'm going. And, you know, I told myself, you know, I was working at the taco place, and then I got this job at the pizza place. And I told myself that I'm not going to fucking stop until, you know, I'm never going to go backwards. I'm always going to keep going up. And I always told myself I'm going to keep striving to go up. Okay? And I've worked at a couple different pizza places in the past. I worked at Papa Murphy's. And there we had to make our own dough every morning. We had to make it in the mixer, we had to sheet it, you know, squish it down, we had to flour it, we had to stretch it out on the pan, many, many different things. Plus, we had to do all the other prep work, like shred cheese, shred mushrooms, and all that good shit. At Pizza Hut, we don't have to do that. Comes already done. But anywho, just a lot more other bullshit and a lot more work that one person has to do. So, I get to work today, and there's shit that's fucked up. There's shit that's not in the right place. And supposedly there was somebody from another store that's friends with the manager that had ended up closing. But I knew something wasn't out of place because the fryer wasn't cleaned out. The grease trap in the bottom of the fryer wasn't cleaned out. That was a giveaway right there. One of the cooler doors for where we keep the cookies and brownies refrigerated was left open. I mean, I'm not just talking about kind of cracked. I'm talking about left open a good 3 or 4 inches at least. The dough wasn't fully tagged. It just had, you know, like one rack had one tag on it, and another rack had another tag on it. But you're supposed to go in and individually put a tag on each stack of dough. So if you got six stacks of hand-tossed and 12 different things of breadsticks and whatnot, you gotta go through and individually tag those. You can't just put one tag on the whole rack and, you know. I knew from the get-go we were fucked, right? And so, you know, I got this new kid, and he's good, but he still doesn't really know what the fuck he's doing. Like, he comes in there, he does work, and I commend him for that. That is, you know, a lot of times he doesn't even have to ask me what the fuck needs to be done. He comes in and he does it, for the most part. He needs to kind of do a little bit better about keeping up with his station, filling up the ingredients and whatnot. But another thing that he needs to start doing is, instead of saucing and cheesing everything, we need to still have some blanks left over to where long story short, somebody calls and says they want a garlic parmesan dinner box, or somebody calls and says they want a pizza with less sauce on it, they don't want as much sauce. It's already sauced and cheesed. And he did, like, fucking three whole stacks of hand toss instead of doing just two and leaving one blank. And then with the dinner boxes, he did all the fucking dinner boxes he sauced and cheesed, except for one stack of, like, four. And so I'm going to have a talk with him about that, because we can't do that. Like, we had 20 dinner boxes, probably, or more. He should have probably maybe only sauced and cheesed, like, 10 of them, honestly. So, honestly, it's kind of my fault, because we were using the prep list from the week before, because that's what the manager told me to do. And we only had so many dinner boxes prepped. And so when you look at the list, it tells you to prep up 15 dinner boxes and 5 Detroit pizzas, which is 20 dinner boxes, basically. And that's about what we had. So, I mean, that's kind of where it all kind of looks terrible. But he did what he was supposed to do, but in the future reference, I am going to have to look at that chart and kind of analyze and say, okay, this is how much we have, this is how much we can use, we're going to have to leave a stack of blanks. So, anywho, besides that, like, looking into the night, like, me and the new kid, we rocked the shit out, we did our work, we sauced and cheese shit, we, you know, kept up on cutting the pieces and everything, right? And when Jimmy comes in, he's this older fucking guy that, he's like in his 40s or 50s, he's only worked at two different places in his whole life. He's worked at KFC for like 20 years, and then he worked at Pizza Hut for like 20 or 30 years. So he's old as fuck. And he's always got something to say. Oh, he's gonna leave there and he's gonna quit and he's gonna go to Decatur. And oh, he's about to walk out because he's so frustrated. And he says that all the fucking time. All the time. Every time I turn around, I'm about to fucking walk out. He says it all the time. And I know he's pissed, you know, whenever he says that, but you know how many times that I get flustered on the cut table and dealing with their shit and my shit and the customer shit at the same time, and I never say I'm gonna walk out. You know, yeah, it gets very, very stressful on the cut table. He's on the make table, but the cut table's like twice as stressful because you have to deal with the wings, you have to deal with the pizzas coming out, and you have to deal with customers walking in and having carryout orders, phones going off. You just got a lot more shit. You run out of boxes, you got to get boxes. You run out of sauce, you got to get more sauce. Frosting, you got to get more frosting. You know, etc., etc. And Tiffany found that out tonight. Whenever I clocked out, I left and went across the street and got some alcohol, and whenever I came back, she was so overwhelmed and so behind and so flustered, because I'm sure whenever I left, she was trying to do, you know, too much at once. She was trying to answer the phones and she was trying to deal with customers. Sometimes you have to put them on hold. Sometimes you got to tell the customer, I'll be with you in a minute, and finish what you're doing. Same thing with the phones. You could let them ring and ring and ring. If they don't like it, they can get online and order online. Or the customer service center will pick it up and they'll answer, you know, and take their order. So, either way, you can tell the phones to piss off. And so when I came back, she had like fucking 8 pizzas coming out of the oven at once. Because we have a top oven and we have a bottom oven. and she's got all these orders coming out at once, and she doesn't know where the fuck they're going, and she's so fucking behind and flustered and fucking confused. She gets overwhelmed, and she's like, I'm about to fucking walk out. She says the same thing that Jimmy says. I'm about to fucking walk out. She said, after today, I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done. And these are people that are trying to be shift leads. These are people that are trying to be shift leaders. Now, I'm a shift lead. Tiffany, which is the girl that I'm talking about, is, she supposedly is a shift lead now. I don't know. Harlan, which is another shift lead, he can't handle the cut table either. He gets flustered, he gets fucking backed up, he gets crazy, because he's slow. He's slow. Like, I tried explaining to him, if you just sit there and look at the screen and see what the fuck you need, and you keep it in order, everything will go smooth as butter. That's the way it goes. Look at the screen and see what the fuck you need. If it says you need a large thin with pepperonis and mushrooms, then grab the fucking thing. Don't fuck around and get to fucking with breadsticks and shit until you need to. Set those off to the side. And, you know, I explained to her tonight because I had to jump in there, even though I was off the clock. I had to jump in there and help her because she was going to drown. She was barely hanging on. Everything was going to get burnt. She was flustered. She was ready to give up. I wasn't even on the clock. I went over there. I had my book bag on and everything. I went over there and fucking slung those pieces out, got them done. Whenever I went outside to smoke with her, whenever we were done, I told her, you can't let it get you fucking flustered. You can't. The minute that you get flustered and you get confused, you get behind, you get backed up, and then everything gets fucked. You have to keep a level head. You have to, you know, if you have to put something to the side and get it the fuck out of your way, then get it out of your way. If you got deliveries coming out, you can't, you know, you're cutting them, you're boxing them, don't go and put them in the fucking delivery bag. Let the fucking delivery drivers do that. You got 20 fucking pizzas coming out of the oven at the same time. Fuck that shit, you know? Stick to the cut table. If you're the shift lead and you're in charge of the fucking cut table, stick to the cut table. Don't go over and answer the phones. Let the delivery drivers do that. I need to have another talk with her again and kind of reassure that. But she's like, yeah, you know, I understand. And I think, you know, she was like, thank you for coming in there and helping me clear that shit out. And I was thinking about just leaving her hanging at first, but then Jimmy had come to me and said, hey, can you go over there and help her? And I'm like, fuck it, you know, I mean, she's gonna have this shit burnt if I don't. So anywho, I saved the day, I was Captain Save-A-Ho. Anywho, I've been thinking a lot lately about different business opportunities that's coming right that I've been thinking about. And long story short, I can't mention too many details about it. I can't mention, you know, how we're going to do it or what it's going to be named. Or anything, because then somebody would just steal my idea and then take it. But I've got a business idea that I've been thinking about trying to own like a food truck or something for a while, but those are kind of expensive. So I don't know. But there's a way for me to make $192,000 a year. I got to doing the math the other night. And that's only with, like, serving 50 people. And, again, I'm not going to get too far into details. But, you know, you do the math, it's like $1,000 a day.
And when the 50 orders are up, it's up. There's no making any more food and staying there all day and all night. First come, first serve. As soon as all the fucking shit's gone, it's gone. And so I make $1,000 a day off of 50 customers. I could make $2,000 a day off of 100, but that's later down the road once I get a little bit more comfortable. But you figure $1,000 a day times 4 days a week is $4,000 a week. So that's $16,000 a month. That's in 10 years, after taxes and everything, it would be like $1.3 million. So it's a very big business opportunity that I've been thinking about. And I'm starting to consider maybe having one person to help me out with something. And I've already extended the offer to somebody that I went to school with. Kind of gave them the opportunity. Do I want to share the money? No. Not necessarily. But if there's two people, we could probably push out twice as much. So I'm still going to get my $1.3 million, and he's going to get $1.3 million. If we can push out 100 orders a day. And that's not a lot. That's really not a lot in the realm of things on what we're doing. So, doing that for 10 years and having $1.3 million, you know, at first I'm like, well, in the realm of things, am I going to be able to live off of that for the rest of my life? And honestly, if you use $1,000 a month, you can live off $1.3 million for 25 years. So as long as you're, you know, careful with it, you do it the right way, you can definitely have a retirement. And, you know, I'll only be 40-something years old and be retired, quote-unquote. So if I wanted to go and still go to work somewhere, even at 50, I could be selling peaches on the side of the road. As long as I've got that $1.3 million saved up, I'm not going to care. So that's another thing. This is kind of like a pension to me. As long as I work for 10 years, I get $1.3 million. And that's, like I said, after taxes. I would make $192,000. So it would be $1.9 million. But, not $1.9 million. I don't know what I'm thinking. But, anywho. I pay like $60,000 a year in taxes. Federal, through the state. So I would clear $133,000 a year. Now, if I was to push out 100 pizzas by myself, I can make double that. I can make $2.6 million in 10 years. And that would be really awesome if I could get up to that level. I'm not going to say that I can't, but it's going to be pretty tough. So even if I start out 5 years on a certain level and then bump up to 100 customers a day instead of 50. And this is strictly going to be on social media, mainly. It's going to be like a pop-up kitchen. So that's how I'm going to get all my clientele. It's really simple. You can go out there and you can work for a company like Pizza Hut and you can get paid $16 for every hour. Or you can go out there and get paid $1,000 a day. I would make more in a day from what I'm going to be doing. I would make more in a day than what I would make in 2 weeks. Let's put it that way. That's crazy. That's fucking absolutely crazy. And, yeah, you know, the taxes and starting up your own business, you know, isn't really fun. But I think it's going to be worth it in the long run. When you break it down, think about it. If you're making $4,000 a week, that is crazy talk. That is crazy talk. And I finally been thinking about shit for the longest time. And I thought about, I still got another idea in the back of my head, but I'm going to wait and see how this one goes. And if I move, you know, away from here, I might think about doing another idea that I've got. So I'm going to make more than the $1.3 million. Because like I said, once I get into my 40s, I've got another idea in my head. From my 50s to my 60s, you know, I could be making a lot of money. So, and you gotta start somewhere. You gotta get out of the rut, you know. And that's kind of what's pushed me to do this, is, you know, again, I'm not gonna get too far into details, because then people are gonna know what it is. But I've thought about it. And I've adapted, and I've thought about it again, and I've adapted again. And now it just seems like this is my calling. This is God's calling to me. Thought about it one night, and I'm like, man. Once I did the math and everything, I'm like, you know how much money you could be fucking making? You know, do you want to make $20,000 or whatever a year, or $25,000 a year, or do you want to make $130,000 a year? There's a difference. You're either going to be the slave, the worker, or you're going to be the boss. No matter where it is. I don't care if you're making fishing lures. That's just going to be the way it is. And if you're content with being a slave, if you're content with being a worker, and you never get ahead, then so be it. You make a living, you got a job, whatever. But me, I'm tired of working. I'm tired of working. I've been working for fucking 10 years without a vacation. I'm tired of working. I want to be able to get some rest. So the only way to do that is to come up with a product that nobody else can get from anywhere else except for you. And as long as you can sell that product and keep people coming back for more, that's all that fucking counts. And I have no question in my mind, once I get started with what I'm doing, people are going to be dying to fucking get in. And like I said, it's only going to be 50 to 100 people. First come, first serve. So, it's not going to be me sitting there all day fucking sweating in a kitchen. I can tell you that. So, you know, it's a time for me to evolve and step into these new shoes as a boss and take life by the horns and say, this is what I want to fucking do. This is what I want to make money right here. And I know it's going to make money. I know it's going to make oodles and boodles of money. Okay? I wouldn't have fucking even thought about it unless it was about money. Okay? So, even if I got to spend some money to make some money, in the long run, like I said, $130,000 a year in my pocket, after taxes and shit, is nothing but fucking cake. It's nothing but cake. You know, all I gotta do is sign a few papers, get a few licenses, start my own business, and then after that, it's done with. I'm gonna hire an accountant, because I'm gonna have so much money coming in, I don't wanna fuck with it.
I don't want to have to deal with the taxes and shit, so I'm going to hire an accountant. I've never had to hire an accountant before, but when you're dealing with 130 grand and shit, and you got personal taxes and property taxes and business taxes, you better hire a fucking accountant. Because if it comes back to bite in the ass and you get audited, you know, you got all that paperwork. My accountant did it. It wasn't me that filed it that fucked up. It was my accountant. So, it's kind of like having a lawyer. It's better to have a lawyer than going to court if you got the money. Don't try and do it on your own. I mean, you can. It's going to be a little harder. You're going to have to jump through more hoops, but I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to keep track of all that shit. Like I said, file personal and property and business taxes. It's crazy. And especially if you're living in another state as well. Which, I've been thinking about doing that. I've been thinking about living out west for 6 months and coming back home for 6 months. Even told my mother that I was going to buy her house. I said, listen, you know, if you think you're going to just sell this house to anybody, you're crazy. She's talking about selling it off and giving the rest of the money to splitting it up between the kids and shit. I told her, I'm going to end up buying this fucking house. You're going to sell it, and guess what? You're going to be selling it straight to the bank, and the bank's going to be selling it straight to me. So, because I'm not going to let somebody just move into my childhood house like that and run it down. So, it would be a good summer getaway house. To get the fuck away from, you know, Yuma, Arizona's deadly heat. And then when wintertime comes around, I'll go down there to Arizona, where it's nice and 50 degrees in the wintertime. We'll have a fucking ball. And especially if I get this business up and going, we're going to definitely have some property. I mean, it's really cheap over in Arizona. It's like $5,000 for a couple acres. And you can pay like $300 a year in property taxes. Very cheap. I thought about getting a little 3D printed house made out of like mud, concrete, whatever. Getting like a one bedroom with a kitchen, like a ranch style house. And they're really cheap. They're like $4,000 or $5,000. And you know, you put the roof over it and everything, you put a foundation down, and you got yourself a fucking pretty good little bachelor pad. Put up some tall wooden fence around it and have a bonfire pit. I'd like to move to Texas. I'd like to have some property in Texas, but I don't want to work in Texas because the thing with Texas is their minimum wage is like 7.25. Very, very low. Minimum wage where I live is like $12.50. There's a lot of people out here making $15, $18 even. $18, $19 at the highest. And I just couldn't imagine moving somewhere where I'm making $10 or less. And I know a lot of those places, they don't have to pay state taxes and shit. But still, I mean, the cost of groceries, the cost of gas, it still is terrible. Even though you don't got to pay state taxes, that doesn't make up for what you do have to pay for. The good thing is, you don't have to pay business taxes, I think, in Texas. But I'm not planning on really having my business in Texas.
I just kind of want to have a little ranch style house there. But see, that's the thing. You got to kind of make up your mind. You know, I could have a house either in Texas or I could have a house in Arizona. And then I'm still going to have the house that I grew up in back in Illinois. So it's always going to be somewhere that I call home. I'm always going to go back to it. It's never going to change. And I'll be damned if I'm going to come back 20 years later and see somebody else living there that's ran it to the ground. Or it's boarded up or something. So anyways, I got talking to my mom about it and shit one night, sitting on the porch. And she was like, well, you could get a loan, you know, through the bank. And I'm like, I have fucking terrible credit. And she's like, it doesn't matter. If you went to them with X amount of dollars, they wouldn't turn you down. They would not be able to refuse you. And I'm like, I don't know about that. And I kind of talked to my sister about it. She was like, yeah, I'm kind of with you on it. She said that they could turn you down and everything. There's no promise about that. But the good thing is I can't get a bank account through like Chase or PNC or Bank of America because I'm on a blacklist for like $80. Long story short, I'm not going to get into that, but State Farm overdrew my account and I never paid them and blah, blah, blah. So I can get an account with a credit union, but I can't get in an account with a bank. I know it doesn't make any sense, but also, if you open a credit union account, sometimes you get a line of credit involved with it, especially if you have a small business. And let's say you do open an account and you don't get a line of credit and you open up a small business. I'm sure they're going to extend the line of credit to you. Not that it's really going to matter. I mean, when you're making 123 grand. So that's the thing with small loans and shit and business loans is you gotta jump through like 10 different hoops. You have a contract that you have to pay them back X amount of dollars plus interest. And you know, I was looking at it the other day. I was watching this video of this guy that was telling you how to do it, and he's just fucking 20 different steps just to get a small business loan. First of all, you gotta open your own business. You gotta start it up before you can even get a business loan. If I can start my own business up, it's gonna be a fucking cakewalk. It's gonna be nothing but a cakewalk after that. So I'm not gonna have to get a business loan, I can tell you that. It's going to be like, I can't even explain it, but I was sitting there the other night and I was laying in bed and I was like, I don't know what made me think about it. Well, I kind of know what made me think about it here and there, I mean, but at the end of the day, I really don't. So the thing is, you gotta find something that you love to do, or you gotta find something that you're good at. Or you gotta find something that you're gonna be miserable at, but that people love, that you can really sell really good. Even if it takes you 10 years to be miserable, if people love buying it and you're making money off of it, fucking do it. Fucking do it. There's nothing worse than sitting here and being somebody who makes 20, 25 grand at the most. Probably less than that. I don't know. And then looking and seeing the potential that I really do have. I could be making... I could be making 5 times as much than what I'm making now. And if you're good at something, like I said, do it. You know, like if it's, I don't care what it is. You could be really good at horseshoeing. Now, you know, people that horseshoe, that do blacksmithing and horseshoeing, they make a lot of good money around here. And even if you don't know how to horseshoe and you can get into, you know, going out to the stables and learning how to do it, you go to the horse shows and everything, those people will pay you bukus of dollars. $600 a pop, you know, just to change some shoes. File down some hooves, you know, shit like that. I knew some people that used to come in the gas station early in the morning. And that's what they used to do. They used to travel to Kentucky. All the way from Illinois to Kentucky. And they used to get up earlier every morning and come in there and get their breakfast and shit 4 in the morning. And they used to go to Kentucky and they would go there to be a... I don't know what they call them, but a stable hand. Somebody to go there and trim down their hooves, sand them down, get them polished up. And when you're in the Kentucky Derby, we're not talking about just some mediocre horseshoeing going on. We're talking about prime time. Some of the best horseshoeing goes on around there. So you might make like $600 a pop here to put on a pair of horseshoes. But let's say somebody needs them and they're at the Kentucky Derby and they don't have their own horseshoer, they don't have their own stable hands, and they're out on the road and they're like, hey, we need somebody to... That's some good money right there. You can charge whatever you want. You can say, okay, well, I'll charge you $1,000 to be your stable hand for 3 days. 3 days, $1,000. That's pretty fucking good. I mean, it goes up from that. I mean, you can charge way more than that. But that's a pretty good, honest price right there. I would say that you could charge $2,500 a pop. You know what the fuck you're doing. That's why you get into your local state fair and you fuck with it before you go fucking around with the Kentucky Derby. It's a lot of rich people. A lot of rich people. It's like running the Grand Prix or the Formula One races. You know, if you know somebody that's into that shit, they got money. It's always kind of interesting, too. I always like watching them. The horse races in, you know, the Formula One races. I don't know why. But, yeah, if you're, you know, it's like with any other skill or tech job or trade job that you're going to find. If you're a good welder, you know, move to wherever there's good welding. Get your training here, do some shitty jobs here at some shitty companies, and then move somewhere where there's good welding jobs. Get your experience, get your foot in the door there. You gotta start from the bottom, no matter where you are. I don't care if you've been cooking, you know, you think you know everything about cooking and whatnot. There's always room to advance. Even if you've got your own recipes and you've been cooking them for years, you find some ways it's like it makes it better and you're like, okay, you know. So even sometimes you can tweak your own shit to make it better. Now, I'm a firm believer that if you're good at something or if something works, then don't change it. So if you're paying the bills and everything's working out for now, and life's going good, then don't change it, because, you know, when you up and leave and you quit your 9-to-5 job and you leave to go do another trade in another city, in another town, you don't know anything, you don't know anybody, you don't know anywhere. For you to get your feet in the ground, it's going to take probably a couple months. Then you got to get, you know, your license changed. You got to get your fucking, if you got any business licenses or any certificates, you got to get that transferred. College stuff, if you got to get that transferred, like transcripts. It's just, you know, do what you're going to do now and build up the experience. That way you don't have to transfer all that shit now. Because if you do, if you work somewhere and you transfer, and then you work somewhere and you transfer, and you work somewhere and you transfer, it's just going to be a lot of headache. And you're going to have to worry about paying taxes in many different states. So just stick somewhere for a while. See if it works out. Could get better, you could get more opportunities, and if not, then sail on. I would say, if you haven't gotten any further within the past 5 years in a company, then move on. Move on, because honestly, I spent 9 years, 10 years at a gas station, and I didn't get shit. I didn't get nothing. The only thing it helped me do was pay my bills for the past 10 years. I didn't get any retirement. I didn't get nothing. So, no promotions. Had to deal with, you know, the only good thing that I see out of it now is I don't have to be mentally abused every day by customers. And yeah, I mean, on the phones, and sometimes you'll have a customer that comes in at the pizza place, but they're not half as bad as what I dealt with at the fucking gas station. And it was every day, multiple times a day, being mentally abused, sometimes physically abused, just depends, all for the price of trying to make a dollar. I look back at it and I'm like, man, that was a terrible fucking job. To be able to put up with all that bullshit and get abused like that. And, you know, the management wouldn't do shit about it. You know, they would, even when you tried to ban people, they would try to, you know, ask you questions like, oh, well, are you sure that they were... Like, bitch, did you not just see her throw a slushie at me? Like, I should quit right now. I should quit right now for being assaulted and shit. You know, because the funny thing is, with Circle K, they would have a lawsuit if I got robbed. Because they used to have bulletproof glass where I worked at. At a lot of the stores here in town, they had like 2 or 3 different stores here in town that had bulletproof glass. And when Circle K came in, they tore all that shit out. So it was something that was protecting people that you knew was a safeguard, and you took it out anyways. You had to actually pay somebody to come rip that shit out, which doesn't make any sense. If it was going to make things safer, it doesn't make any sense. I asked one of the bigwigs about it. I'm like, hey, you know, if we had all this safe shit here, why are you guys ripping all this shit out? And he told me, oh, because it makes it look more welcoming. Oh, yeah, it makes it look more welcoming to the wrong people.
To the fucking robbers and shit.
Yeah, it makes it look really welcoming. I remember back in the day, whenever I first started at the store that had bulletproof glass, and you can slide the glass open if you had to like ring up beer and shit like that. But as long as you kept it half latched, as long as you kept, there was like a little pin. When you slid it open, like I said, you can ring up the beer and shit, but if you slammed it closed, that pin would lock into place, and yeah, I mean, it was, there was many, many times when somebody would come in there, they'd get really irate, they'd get pissy, and they'd put their money under there, and they'd get, and I'd tell them, you're not getting back your change now. Yeah, how's that feel? Since you want to be an asshole, I'm going to sit here and hold on to your change for 10 minutes. As soon as you can calm down, I'll give you back your change. I used to do that kind of shit all the time. I used to get pissed. It's like, yeah, I'll be here at fucking midnight when you get off. You stupid motherfucker, I get off at fucking 11, you dumbass. So anywho, I'm going to stick and continue what I've been doing for now to pay the bills, but within the near future, as soon as I get the money, as soon as I get the time, I'm going to open up my own business, and it's going to take off faster than what I know what to do with. I already know. I can already see it, and it's going to be very hard to be able to keep up with all that shit. I'm definitely, once I actually do start my business, I'm not going to be able to work at this pizza place that I am working at, because that's just way too much time. With this new job, when I do open my business, there's going to be some days where I wake up early, like 9 in the morning or earlier. It might take fucking 3 hours to do some prep. But like I said, after those orders are gone, after 50 or 100 orders, I might get done at 3 or 4 or 5 in the evening and have the rest of the evening. So you put in the hard work, and then you get to play hard. And that's what I believe in. So work hard, play hard. And as long as you got something that people are going to be dying to have, then it's going to be really easy. It's going to sell like hotcakes. Everybody and their brother is going to be talking about it, and they're going to say, "Oh man, I wanted to try that place, but I showed up there and then they just ended up closing." And it's only going to be on social media, like I said. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. No, I don't have a Twitter. I don't even fuck with Instagram, really. It's going to be a YouTube thing and a Facebook thing, I guess. And a Spotify thing. I can still get my name out there if I'm on Spotify. Plenty of people around the country and around the globe listen to my shit on Spotify. So, and even if they don't hear it, oh well. But the point is, I know I'm going to get at least 50 customers. Those 50 customers are going to go and tell fucking 50 more people. And it's just going to catch on like wildfire. And you're never going to know where I'm at, because I'm going to switch it up. One day I could be on this street, and next day I could be on this street. And I thought about getting a place downtown, like an actual business to where I can rent it out. But then I got to thinking, then you got to pay rent. You know, that takes more money out of your pocket than you would usually make. So, unless you own the property, which a lot of places around here, you know, it's just impossible. Yeah, if you're renting out, you're gonna have to pay rent. So, in a business, and that's not very cost efficient. So, we're planning on maximizing profits, making a good product, and keeping people that fucking want more. And more, and more, and more. And there's only one way to do it, and that's why I'm not going to give the secret out to anybody right now, because, you know, anybody and their brother would be doing it. I probably still won't give away all the secrets once I actually start my business, and you have to just come try it, you know. Just one of the things you have to come try. And you don't have to go all the way to the East Coast in order to try it. So that's going to be something that people are going to fall in love with around here. Because there's no place around here in the Midwest that you can get something like that. And not only that, but there's probably no place at all that you can get something like this. It's just that fucking good. And I got to thinking about it the other day, and I could tell you about another business thought that I had, but that would ruin future plans. Because that's still a good plan, too. And I come up with million-dollar ideas all the fucking time. All the time. In the past. And I just never acted on them. It was usually just an idea, you know. But here lately, I've been thinking about business ideas. I'm thinking about making money. I've been thinking about making good shit, making money, fucking. And the only way to do it is, like I said, making a product or making something that somebody just has to have. Something that's that good. And something that somebody's gonna pay the money for it. Because, and feel comfortable about paying the money for it. Because a lot of places, they overcharge and say, oh, it's inflation, this and that. When I charge my price, you're gonna pay it, and you're gonna love paying it. So, it could be probably about another couple years. I'm not gonna lie. I would love to start it up next year, to be honest, but I just don't have the funding for it. I don't have the time, I don't have the money. I've got to start thinking about van life and shit like that, you know. And then once I get into van life, that's going to be my fucking ticket out of everything, because I mean, I thought about going and working for Amazon, which I still might do that, to make some extra money. But that's, I don't feel like that's going to be enough. And so, honestly, I mean, when I got my own company, $130,000 a year, I'm not going to really need to work for Amazon. But while I'm kind of getting it off the ground, getting my business started, for right now I need to worry about getting into van life, saving up as much money as I can to get into van life, and having a little bit of money for groceries and shit, so once I actually do leave the apartment life, I've got some shit to live off of, you know what I'm saying? I can still, I guess, live out of my van while I'm working. But actually, I probably will do that. But here lately, it's been so crazy with all the stress and everything that I've been trying to find another job somewhere. Thought about working at Jimmy John's because, you know, Jimmy John's here locally, they said they were looking for a delivery driver that actually rides a bicycle around. So we're gonna look into that. Not too many jobs out there let you deliver on a bicycle. And I heard that a delivery driver that is there on a bike is making like $80 in tips on any given day. So Christmas time's coming up, holiday season, Thanksgiving, all that shit. And I ride my bike in the snow and the ice and the freezing cold, it doesn't matter. So as long as they're willing to let me ride, I'll ride all year round. You know, especially it's not very far trips. It's just in the downtown area. So, yeah, I've ridden 30 miles in the fucking cold before. So anywho, I wish I could sit here and talk a little bit more, but this podcast's coming to an end, and it probably should. Because I gotta be up at like 9 in the morning, it's already 2. So, I'm gonna eat a little bit, then I'm gonna go to sleep. Really excited to see my cousin that's coming in about a week and a half. I haven't seen him in about 10 years, and it's going to be pretty awesome to catch up with him, at least see, you know, him in person. He can see how I look, and maybe we can go out and get a bite to eat and hang out, and it's going to be really awesome. Just see him. I've actually wanted to take a trip out there to where he's staying at and see how it looks, but that's something in the future. Like I said, once I get into the van life, I might be able to take my business idea out there. Maybe. So until then, it was real. It was fun. But it wasn't real fun. So until the next one, you know, and see, that's the thing. You never really know when I'm going to make the next one. Could be a couple days, you know, it just really depends. Been having a rough kind of week. Been having a rough kind of month, but anywho, deuces.